We welcome Sharon Weaver as our speaker today. Sharon earned a master's degree in divinity at Vanderbilt University, and she has held work positions as a teacher, social worker, and college professor. Sharon currently operates a consulting company called Spiritual Care Providers. The title of Sharon's sermon is Starting a New Tradition. Let's welcome Sharon.
Thank you, Ben. It's good to be back. Good to see everyone. Happy festive season. You know, solstice, Christmas, holiday, Hanukkah, whatever, on and on and on, right? And it's such a joyous time of the year when we all can relax and truly hibernate like we were talking, and don't we wish we could, because most of us sometimes this time of year at one point or another feel like we do want to crawl into a cave, roll the rock over it, and you just wake us up in the springtime when all of this is over with. Okay? Now, I'm not meaning to be a Grinch, but there's a lot of stress this time of year. People get sick, continue to get sick. People die. Bad things happen. It's like, really? No break. Got to do it during the holidays. And so it can be a very difficult time of year for folks because we try to live into the fantasy, the myth, the sometimes truths of the joy of the season. So we're going to talk about, you know, what causes some of that stress and what we can do to change that. My background, my fundamental work is about taking care of oneself. So that's always the message somewhere in what I speak. Last time I was here, we talked about changing our narrative. It was changing your narrative, changing the story of your life, and what you expected other people to say about you, what you participated in. Today, we're going to talk about traditions, since it's holiday traditions. Now, traditions are something that are handed down, sometimes literally, and you taught within a family unit. Family can be your immediate family, your biological family, an associated family, a community of faith family, can be a work family, and any kind of groups that you find yourself belonging to by your choice or not by your choice. A lot of times when we are born into these groups and systems, certainly into our families, functional or dysfunctional or variations of the both. And when we're in there, we are given purposefully traditions to follow. We are also given our roles within that tradition, sometimes subtly, sometimes without any intention. We are given traditions of the family and traditions of the group. So again, part of taking care of oneself is to be mindful. So part of changing your narrative is to be mindful of it. Part of changing or starting a new tradition or changing it is to be mindful of the traditions that we're a part of. Now, we mentioned a lot of different information, and I love that, Jill, all the information about holly. And the overlying kind of thread running through that is variation, right? Variations of species, variations of interpretations of what it meant, that it was green. Maybe in some cultures where we didn't have that evergreen, then holly didn't play a big part. But the story of the holly dovetails well into what a tradition is. Traditions are orally handed down. Literally handed down sometimes, and we will say, well, I give you this. You know, when you inherit something physically from your family, or you're in an organization and you get the title of, you get a promotion, you are now in charge of whatever. And you inherit, you get that, sometimes again physically, sometimes certainly there's oral expectations. And so expectations go with traditions. That's what you need to know. We're pairing up. We're looking at traditions, breaking it down, figuring out where they come from, what a tradition is, orally handed down. And then what do we have in traditions that we are not aware of? Okay. Did anyone in here sort of, can you think right now of traditions that you inherited from your family? Yeah, some you like, some maybe you don't, but you can think of them. And if you dissect them, and if you look at them, you know that that comes with expectations, right? We don't say family expectations. We're placing a ball up on the tree, or we're doing a tree in our house because it's an expectation. We say it's a tradition. A tradition, though, means an expectation. So living up to others' expectations are our own that we have accepted, bought into, maybe without thinking. So that's what we're doing when we're dissecting traditions. Now, I'm not suggesting that you throw everything out and go, well, it's bad then. There are some traditions I dearly love. Some that cause stress, right? Good things cause stress too. And maybe you want to have a special dinner, or you want to participate in the circle meeting that's going to happen at the certain time at the moon on the day that's important, right? You want to do that. But you stressed and you have to meet that expectation, your own perhaps, of what's going to be happening. And any time you have expectations, you're setting yourself up for disappointments. Now that's really important. And sometimes when our expectations get inflated, and it's not even that they're not met, you go and you do exactly what you think you're going to do. The tree is pretty. It's beautiful. You have the dinner. It's wonderful. You have the meeting. The moon is out. It is great. It's just perfect. And then it's over. And all the energies and all the expectations maybe could not have been met. And there's been disappointment, or the after-holiday depression, or yada, 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 yada. So there's reasons we should look at some of these traditions. There's reasons you should at least be aware of what happens, even when it goes well and you want to participate. So imagine having your part in it that you want to participate in and it goes well, but you know that's not alone. You've got the history. You've got the other stuff that's there that's expected that you don't really want when you're doing a group or organization or even a family tradition. Hank Williams Jr. in 1979 wrote a song about family traditions. It was not complimentary. It was sort of an explanation as to why he drank and smoked, caroused. He was keeping up with family traditions. Robert Earl Keen, which some of you may be familiar with, 1994, wrote what has to be one of my favorite family tradition songs. It's a Merry Christmas from the Family song. And it is from that sacred text song that I am going to quote and dissect again and examine traditions. And then we'll wrap up with talking about, once you look differently at something, what do you do with it? Can you start anew? Can you change? So let's look at this. Christmas is all around us, even if we do not participate in it, because it is within the normal, more, I'm trying to think of a politically correct word to describe it. Yes, thank you. Mainstream. It is mainstream. And those who do not celebrate or believe the faiths that would you would embrace Christmas feel very much outside of the mainstream this time of year. And it can be frustrating. Doesn't mean we don't have our own traditions or whatever, but it can be frustrating. And many times we still get together because it's the thing to do around the holidays in family. There's that sense of you get together. A lot of it is because of what? We have time off. And what do you do with time off? People travel to home. Are you coming home for the holidays? Are you coming home? Are we expected to go home? Some of this was because when we grew up, you just that was a time that you were free from work to go back to family, to go back home. So again, keep it in mind, what's really the driver there? Work time schedule. Robert Earl Keane, in his song, embraces a real family getting together. Probably his family, many of our families, some of them, getting together for Christmas. And it's not the Norman Rockwell that we see a snapshot of. It is a more realistic picture, even if yours was not exactly like this. Here is the chorus, from the words from the chorus, from Robert Earl Keane's 1994 Merry Christmas for the Family. Carve the turkey, turn the ball game on. It's margaritas when the eggnog's gone. We need some ice and an extension cord. Send somebody to the quick sack store. We need some ice and an extension cord, a can of bean dip and some diet rights, a box of tampons and some Marlboro Lights. Hallelujah, everybody say cheese. Merry Christmas from the family. And the rest of the chorus is the rest of the lyrics. And it's really funny. You should listen to it. Now, it doesn't matter if you're celebrating Hanukkah, if you're celebrating solstice, or if whatever you're celebrating, we're gathered together and real things happen. So we're going to dissect it here. And I want you to think about what's tradition. Carve the turkey. Okay. What's the vegetarian thing to do? What if you don't like it? Right. And hope that they didn't cook it in the broth and the stuffing. Right, yeah. Turkey. What if you like ham? Has anybody been in a discussion where there is, well, I thought we were going to have ham this year. I thought we were going to have roast beef. Okay. What do you mean turkey? We have turkey every year. Well, that's, yeah. Uncle Watts expects the turkey. So right there, right off the bat, right out of the gate, there's tradition going, expectations. Tradition. So you got a picture of in this family, they got to have turkey. And there's essential carving where everybody thinks, you know. And it used to be, hopefully it's spread out a little bit, but it's still quite widespread, that the male, the patriarch of the family, carves the turkey. Right? And so while we go, oh my gosh, you know, women have cooked the turkey traditionally, right? Traditionally, cooked the turkey and served it. The man comes and carves it. Okay, there's expectations and stress on both sides. What if the woman's got to cook this great bird, turkey, and it can't just be some little something. It's got to be carvable, right? Because this is the moment. And some poor guy has to go, everybody's sitting around and watching me cut into this bird. And, you know, we've seen on the commercials how it's supposed to be beautifully laid over and whatever. And you're cutting this greasy, maybe thin bird, and it's like, here's a piece, you know, here's little pieces. Okay, already expectations and tradition. Maybe you just took a drumstick and handed it around. I don't know. But so in this song, he's talking about it. It's a poem, and the song is literature. His story is telling you, this is what my family does. We have a turkey. We have to have a turkey. We have to carve it. He doesn't just say, have the turkey. Carve the turkey. Important. Turn the ball game on. Anybody now, You go where there's a group of people to eat dinner, and there's going to be a television, right? Go to a restaurant. Oh, we're going to punt this tradition. We're not going to that tradition. We're going out for our Christmas dinner. Well, depending on where you go, there may be a TV right there. In some of the nicer restaurants, at least over in the, where they serve drinks in the bar area, there'll be a television going. So guess what? So turn the ball game on, yeah. Now, in my tradition, my family, women went to the kitchen and cooked, and men went and watched the ball game. And you just hoped that it didn't converge to it was a tie, close game at the time the dinner hit the table, because there would be bloodshed. Not literally, but it would be, you know, come on, let's eat. The game's close. We've got to get it. Come on. I've been cooking in the kitchen all day. Get in here. You going to eat or not? Dude, this is our Christmas dinner. It's tied. So you can see some of the stress then. But turn the ball game on. It's margaritas when the eggnog's gone. Now he starts out, actually the first verse is, Mom gets drunk and Dad gets drunk. And somebody spiked or put the champagne punch. You know, he talks about champagne punch. And so depending on the family, that was a common occurrence. Might be not uncommon in that they were constantly inebriated or drinking. Or maybe it was just Christmas. That was the time, in his family at least, the seasonal get-together where people got a little over the top on the drinking. And in his song, alcohol flows throughout. So it's what we know then is it's important to this family to have alcohol. One of the other parts, the last verse, talks about, you know, not only have they gone through champagne punch, eggnog, which they have to have, homemade eggnog, which is, we know now, that's not a good tradition, right? You want to get sick, the rest of it. Make homemade eggnog. Raw eggs are undercooked. What are you going to scramble? Yeah, it's a problem. It's hard. So, but eggnog, because it's traditional. And then he goes through the eggnog. Okay, we hit the margaritas then when the eggnog's gone. And the last verse is about, we all got Bloody Marys. We break out the Bloody Marys because we all want one. So we're all into Bloody Marys. So you get the feel of that, alcohol, and the importance of it in the family. Now, imagine trying to come in. You know, I say, what about the vegetarians? What about the alcoholics recovering or the non-drinkers? Where are you in this picture? You see. Send somebody to the Quick Pack store. How many of us someday hope, on a special day, I don't care what day it is, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah's celebration, one of the Seder dinners, I don't care, that's not in Hanukkah, but Seder, whether it's Easter, the special time for soul. How many of us need to go to the store to get something? We're lighting all the candles at the lab. What do you mean we're out of matches? This lighter thing won't work. Okay. Human stuff is in because we're trying to make it perfect, right? We've got to go get it. So send someone to the Quick Pack store. We need some eyes. Yeah. And an extension cord because somebody's plugging up something. So they never have enough extension cords. We can find out here not planning well. You know, a lot of other people bringing in. A can of bean dip and some diet rights. Okay. So we know that they're munching throughout the day. This tells us they're munching. And diet rights, they've got to have some sodas. Diet sodas and cheap ones. Okay? I mean, that's just, you know, that's, so we know that, or perhaps it's the favorite. It's very southern family, right? Very southern because of the diet right. That's not found everywhere. A box of tampons, and one of them says a box of Pampers. So all that is telling you is that there's, it could say toilet paper. You got to take care of stuff. And somebody, when you get everybody together, is going to need something like that. As people age, it could be Depends. I mean, it's going to be something that when you go to the store, we're going to need to care for that Maslow's hierarchy, one of those personal basic needs, and Marlboro lights. smoke. Okay, so the tradition in the family is they're smokers. So there's smoking going on. Hallelujah. Where does hallelujah come from? Hallelujah. That's that plug-in of the Christian Christmas, right? I don't know. The solstice folks, Saturnalia, do you walk around going hallelujah? Great blessings, right. So we already know right here where this is based. It didn't say Christmas yet in the title. It didn't, but in this we know it's based. Hallelujah. Everybody say cheese. Cheese. And why do they say yes and the smile? Because why, Kitty? They're taking photographs, right? So that tells us what this family's doing. Traditionally, there's photographs going to be made of the family. Merry Christmas from the family. Okay. Now, you can insert your own words into this chorus as to the family traditions, as to the work traditions. This could be work. You know, somebody turn the phones off. Somebody go and get somebody this, you know, who's in the main office or back in the back drinking when they're not supposed to be. Somebody else is out smoking outside. You know, where's the boss? Make sure he's not around or she's not around. We could insert that and make that for any organization. Now, I say that because what's happening is much like this song, much like the holly. We're passing it down. It is not a neat package. It is not here. Here is your package of tradition. We want it that way, perhaps. But then we could easily throw it out or keep it. But it's handed down as it's woven into our lives, so we don't even know. We don't know who's actually responsible for the words of the song. All of them, because the words have changed. As the meanings have accumulated and attached to the song. Started out, let's have a good dance song. Fast fiddle maybe, or whatever instrument. Then somebody adds words to it. And the meanings change as it's paired with seasonal time. Why seasonal time? It was because it was getting cold in the winter and people did gather in. And when you gather in, you got to do something to pass the winter too. You have parties. You have gatherings. You share food. And in villages where there was a collective effort, you had big meals. Right? And there was time. The harvesting, a lot of the work had been done on the outside, and there was a coming together. When people come together, then they create things, like songs, and then meaning. The rituals are not there first. We create rituals, we create fables and myths and stories to explain, to entertain, and that's where a lot of this comes from. And then we attach what we're doing to that meaning. So we're making this because it's a sacred day for us. This is the day that fill in the blank. Right? And when you look around, this is the food we eat. This is the clothing we wear. This is the colors we have. This is the vegetables, the fruit, the holly, whatever we bring in. And that's where these traditions come into play. And they get passed along and it gets changed. Where we don't know exactly what holly was used. We don't know exactly who sang what first. Probably it was the person who was literate that wrote down what he had heard someone else sing. And I mean he literally, because that was usually who could write. That's why there's so many poems attributed to men. Men were writers then. They had the luxury and the expectation of writing a lot of times. But at least if it was the wealthy, you know, the women were educated, then it's the wealthier folks in any of the cultures. So you're looking at that, and what that does for you, I hope, is to kind of rub off a little of that sacredness. And I say rub it off. I'm not trying to take away anything, but to rub off some of the sacredness that you can let go of traditions that hurt us, that harm us, that you really don't enjoy, and that you're passing on to your children and your loved ones. And so starting new traditions means altering what we've done, or just not participating. And that's hard, but it's important when you tell people why you're not participating. Maybe you are an atheist. And you don't like, every year you're drug, you want to please your mother or you want to please your father, and they're old and they won't always be with you, yada, yada, yada. And they want to go to church. Sunday, the most important thing is for the family to all be together. And you suck it up and you go. And you just go home and just have a hard time afterward. Now, if you don't have a hard time afterward, go get it over with and whatever. If you do, if it hurts you, then you get to not participate. It's important to take care of yourself and alter that tradition in a way. People will change. People can change. One of the reasons for the expectations and one of the reasons for the problems around some of our traditions is something called homeostasis. Now, I know this is a physiological concept. Homeostasis being we try to equalize things around a set point. Things try to equalize around a set point. In families, we have a family unit, and there's all those expectations kind of get solidified. And so when you or someone else tries to change, there is pressure to go back to that set point. So we're using, I'm going to borrow this physiological concept and tweak it and apply it as a social concept, sort of a social science, a systems concept. So let's say you don't drink anymore, or you've stopped smoking. Certainly if you're in Robert Earl Keen's family, you may have some difficulties. Vegetarian, difficulty. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to change the group or change the tradition. If we couldn't change, we wouldn't have Deck the Halls the way it is today. Who knows what it'll be 100 years from now if we're still singing it, you know? But it does mean you must participate honestly if you want that tradition to change. And so to say, you know, well, this year I'm not drinking. Or this year, you know, I'm trying to not eat any meat. It's a good idea to give them ahead of time on what you're going to eat or bring around. But to alter it in a way, knowing that you're going to get some backlash, knowing that it's not necessarily that your mother it wants you to eat bad food, your father or your uncle or your brother wants you to have lung cancer. A lot of times it's the unit cannot handle the change without that pressure to come back. What do you mean you're not celebrating Christ? What do you mean you're an atheist? Or what do you mean you're pagan? You know? Or what do you mean you're Christian? Heaven forbid you found Jesus? Are you trying to ruin the family here? And so we want people to stay in the place they were, right? We want them to stay in that place. So there's pressure for that. When things change, there's that pressure. And once you know that, then you can withstand and say, okay, this is going to be this Christmas. It will be, or this, whatever. And it will be difficult, you know, as we upset everything. But I'll have another year before we settle it all out. And eventually, it can happen that you are accepted, and what you do can actually open the door for others to alter their traditions. So that if you're living into the tradition, at least a little more open and honestly and mindful, The stress will be reduced, at least yours. Someone else needs to worry about their stress, right? You know, they everybody gets their own. As Mom says, every tub sits on its own bottom. But your stress can be reduced and things can be handled a little bit differently. So I can't tell you what traditions to change. I can't tell you what new ones to start, but I can tell you can alter what's out there. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It is tradition, if you will, to change tradition, to alter it, to change it. I wish you good seasons this time of year, celebrations. I wish them to be non-stressful, or at least as stressless as possible. I wish you joy more than anything. And when we do have time off, and that's what this really is, a time to gather together, like Dave was saying, that hibernation, that coming together with the darkness to keep us from being out. Do it in a way that's healthy and healing if you can. For yourself, at least. And then you're working toward giving permission for others to do the same. Thank you. I appreciate you inviting me here, and I hope to see you next month. Thank you.